May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The words from Isaiah today paint a really wonderful picture and image, don't they? All these people coming and gathering together, the glory of the Lord shining on Jerusalem, people, the nations bringing their riches and their wealth to lay before the feet of the people of Israel. It is a vision of triumph and success, of homecoming. These are the words of the prophet Isaiah after the exiles have been released from Babylon and have come home to Jerusalem, and this is the vision he shares with them. But there's only one problem with it. It isn't what the people of Israel encountered when they arrived in Jerusalem. The exiles in Babylon had been raised on stories about the wonder and joy and delight of the old country, of Israel, of their homeland. Most of them were a new generation who had never set foot in the land. But like any of us who grew up with immigrant grandparents who shared with us the wonders and joys and the delights of the old country without ever mentioning the reasons they had left, the exiles had expected to come home to Israel and find finally the promised land, a place of glory and delight, a place of power and prosperity. Instead, they walked into a crumbling ruin in a barren land in an economic shambles. It would have been a moment when it would have been easy for them to give up, because the people they encountered who had been left behind didn't even remember the worship of Yahweh. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem had been forgotten. But the prophet promises them that they have not been abandoned. Okay, this isn't what we were expecting, but this is what can be. This is what the future can hold for us. We are servants of a glorious God, and when God's glory and light shines upon us, we will build a place such as no one has ever known, a place that everyone, all the nations around, long to be. It was enough vision to get the exiles to dig in, settle down, and begin rebuilding. It would never match their lived experience. The exiles from Babylon would never see a day when the empire of Israel was so great that the other nations came around begging them and bringing them tribute. In fact, they would, by the time of Jesus, have aligned themselves with Rome and this King Herod that we hear about in Matthew. He would be a client king of Rome with the delicate and difficult job of pleasing imperial masters who constantly demanded more, and a rest of people who remembered the visions of Isaiah and the promise of Messiah and wanted something more and better. The words of Isaiah would not reflect their current lived experience. Neither would the experience of the newborn king of the Jews. The Magi set out from, Matthew says, the east, over there somewhere, presumably, given the gifts they're carrying, from a position of wealth and power, of respect and understanding, and they come trekking over, and they bring these gifts to this newborn babe, this king, who is going to be the Messiah that Israel has been waiting for. Well, boy, that wasn't the lived reality of that family, was it? This child was born in a stable because there had been no room for them in the inn. In Matthew's gospel, after the visit of the kings, they very quickly have to pack up in the middle of the night and flee to Egypt. because Herod, trying to keep that delicate balance, wants nothing to do with baby messiahs. They will become refugees, and they will never return to Bethlehem. Even when they come back, they will settle in Nazareth, further away out in the backwater Galilee, hoping to attract no attention. The glory of these kings arriving with the star over the home and walking in with the camels and the frankincense and the gold. Momentary glimpse of what God might have promised, but not at all reflected in that family's life and their lived experience in that moment. I wonder what Mary thought of those two things. It turns out that the visions that we have, the promises of the glory of God, are often promises for our future. They are visions of what God has in store for us in the redemption and salvation of the world. But they often are not part of our current experience. They are too often hidden from us, as they were from the people who returned from exile. But there's an interesting piece here, because it's the wise men who actually find what they're seeking. They're expecting a king, and they find the Son of God. They find the beginnings, the promise where God has entered into the world and begun that vision. They recognize it, not because it bursts on the scene so obviously that everybody can see it, but because they've been studying. They are wise, and they've been studying the prophecies, they've been reading Isaiah, they've been wondering, where is God in the middle of all this? And they're not willing to wait for that to come in all its glory. They're not willing to sit down and just wait and say, okay, God, fix things. They study the scriptures, they study the prophecies, and they say, we're going to go looking for where God has revealed himself. Because in our studies, we know that God is come. We've seen the star. We know there's something going on. And so they set off on a journey. They study first so they'll recognize what the heck the star means. And then they set off on a journey. And that gets them pretty close, but not all the way. So they stop to ask for help. Herod is probably not the person that, in retrospect, was the best person to ask for help. But they did get what they needed. They got the name of a village. They got the name. They got a direction. And so they kept going. And sure enough, they found an infant child. They found the star that had lit their way, showed them, this is it. Here is God inbreaking into the world. Here is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for. This is the fulfillment of the promise. I'm actually feeling struck by the fact that they didn't immediately turn around and go home. Because really, if you had been seeking the fulfillment of the promise of God, would a baby have been what you were looking for? Especially a baby born to a family of no particular power or prestige. That study pays off because they immediately recognize what it is they found and they offer their gifts. And then, as James Howells points out, the interesting thing is they don't stay there. Having found this space, this place where God's power is made manifest in an infant child and the fulfillment of a promise, they don't build a mansion in Bethlehem and settle down. They go home. They receive a vision, and they go home by a new road. Turns out that having met the infant Christ, they can't simply go back to what they've been doing before. They have to find a new path, a new road, a new way. Because meeting that baby has changed everything. You know, we still live in a time where the fulfillment of the promises of Scripture still seem a long way off. We live in a world in which, if we look around, it doesn't really look like Isaiah. It doesn't even look like what the early Christians thought it might look like by now. We live in a world that is still not really reflecting our hopes and our visions and the promises of God. But I think the wise men are our models there. Because just because our current reality doesn't reflect that future glory, doesn't mean God is not working in our world here and now among us in unexpected and unlikely places. If we want to know where that is, we should probably study our scriptures, tell the stories of how God has acted in the past, because that will help us recognize when we find God in our present, even if it turns out to be in a squalling infant with dirty diapers. We should be willing to leave our comfortable niches and our comfortable spaces and go out into the world looking for that presence of God, because it's entirely possible that God's out there and isn't going to drop by our house. That we might have to go looking for where God is working in the world. We should ask for help along the way. That, by the way, is what the church is for, is to help one another, to encourage one another. So that when we are confused or uncertain, or we think we have come a little way, but we're not sure which direction to go next, there are others who have studied and who have sought, who can help point us in a new direction. And when we find that moment where we realize that God is here and working, when we have that experience of the transcendent power of God and the glory of God, which isn't actually as far away as we thought, we should expect to go home by a new route. We should expect to share those tidings with those who helped us on the way. We're going to ignore the Magi on that one. And we're going to discover new ways and new paths and new routes that we haven't even imagined yet. God is working in the world just as he was among the exiles in Babylon, just as he was in that little house in Bethlehem. It is up to us to trust the vision enough to go looking for it. Amen.